So let us start about my institute. My institute belongs to a national research council that is similar than your CAS, Chinese Academy of Science. It's similar than RAS, Russian Academy of Science. It's an academy of science. So our objective is to develop sectors of knowledge and about everything related to science. As you can see, there are 7,500 people working in CNR, of which less than half are researchers. You can consider that Italy is a very little country, 60 million of people only. So twice than the population in Beijing and here only. So this this number of people that is working should be compared to the number of people that are living in Italy. And CNR is the biggest research institute, biggest research center, council that exists in Italy. Since last year there were 11 different departments, molecular design, earth and environment, and so on. Recently they changed them into 7 departments. And in chemical science and technology of materials is inserted our institute. Our institute, before it was a molecular design department. Now I do not know exactly where we are. At that time, there were these institutes that were in the same, in the same department. The staff of our institute is about 30 people, of which 23 are researchers. Our institute has a section in the north, but is located in the south, where there are two important things: the Bos primigenius discovered in a part here that is related to this time, and the very famous bronze Oriage. There are 30 units of permanent staff, of which 33 are researchers, and we have around between 30 to 50 visiting professors, visiting PhD students, postdoctoral that are coming in our institute to work with us. It is very important to understand that this is a multidisciplinary institute in which we have chemical engineering, process engineering, food science, material science, biological students, researchers, and so on. For example, if you consider a chemical engineering department, probably in your department most of them are chemical engineers. In our case, this is different, and this means that we can share our idea, different ideas quite quickly. Our institute is related to many aspects of the membrane research. Inorganic membrane reactors, gas separation membrane contactors, PEM fuel cell, biomembrane reactors, for example, artificial liver, and so on, for example, water desalination using membrane filtration. In particular, my activity is related to the inorganic membrane reactor, for which in this afternoon I'll have another lecture. Well, let's start about what happened worldwide concerning the membrane. Starting from this source, of course, Professor Bill Koros, Journal of Membrane Science, some years ago, the desalination of breakage of seawater by using a membrane technology named reverse osmosis is to be considered the major industrial success of membrane operation we have had in the last years. The amount of current global installed capacity is more than 60 million of cubic meter per day. In this case, they use membrane. In Saudi Arabia, for example, drinking water is produced from the sea water using a membrane. So the current, I said, membrane-based systems are the most widely used process. 80% of all the desalination facilities that are around 15,000 and about 50% of the capacity of the desalination plant are related to membrane. An optimized thermal distillation plant producing 100 million of gallons per day requires 33 kilowatt per hour per cubic meter of water produced. A seawater reverse osmosis system, vice versa, with an energy consumption of only 22 kilowatt per hour per cubic meter, is over 10 times more efficient. So this means that we reduce the amount of energy necessary for this. So the large-scale membrane technology already exists. For example, in Israel, in Ashkelon, we have, I'll show you also in another, in the next slide, a number of elements containing membrane is 40,000. The final capacity of production is of pure water is 100 million of cubic meter per year. This is another slide in the same system. We can see here that the water price is around $0.5 per cubic meter with all these characteristics. This is a desalination plant that uses membrane. The amount capacity is 330,000 cubic meters per day. Also in Texas, there is another desalination plant and is considered the world's largest inland desalination one with 104,000 cubic meters per day of production. The production cost of the water is less than $0.36 per cubic meter. Well, there are also other applications, of course. For example, here you can see hydrochloric acid electrolysis plant that produces chlorine of 215,000 kiloton per year in Shanghai. You know this? This was written by Pierre Millet. In one of my handbooks, I'll speak later about this. There are also other applications. For example, the permahydrogen recovery installed at an ammonia plant. There is another one that produces this large amount of removal of CO2 content. It is treating a natural gas stream here. Another one here is in Qatar, installed in 2007, is one of the most successful petrochemical applications, and the treatment of resin degassing vent in a polythene plant is, in this case, they use also membrane, hydrogen permeable membranes. Again, the photograph of membrane flue gas containing unit use it for the field compressor engine use silicon rubber membranes in a spiral wound modules. This produces this amount of green gas. Another one is installed in California. Here you can show something really very interesting that are not these beautiful women, but are here, located here. This is an engine, a car, that uses three, you can see better here, otherwise you are distracted, three cylinders of very high hydrogen pressure, is around 300, if I remember. Look here, 350 bar. So another way, for example, to solve hydraulic car, another way to solve this problem, because for many people this is a problem. When you drive a car and you have hydrogen in a cylinder, maybe when the car crash, it is a bomb. Not atomic bomb, but hydrogen bomb, similar. Anyway, one way to try to solve this problem is to use, for example, membrane reactors in the car, where you can use gasoline, ethanol, methane, what you want as a feed, to transform it using a membrane reactor into pure hydrogen and directly fed your engine. In this case, you have to handle not hydrogen in a cylinder, but directly your fuel, methane and so on. Let's go a bit back to understand something tomorrow, this afternoon and tomorrow I'll explain in detail. But just a few words to understand each other what we are speaking about. What is a membrane? A membrane is a phase, is a permeable phase that is able to act as a selective barrier, and for this it needs a driving force. The driving force could be a pressure, could be a temperature, could be a concentration, could be a pH, could be others. For example, in the case of polymeric membranes, dense membranes, if we have here air, for example, the dense polymeric membrane is able to be passed selectively by oxygen, and the ratio between oxygen and nitrogen fluxes is less than 10. This means, for example, roughly speaking, every 10 molecules of oxygen that pass, one molecule of nitrogen pass two. This means roughly this. Vice versa, in inorganic membrane system, in a dense, what happens? If I use a palladium or palladium based, what does it mean, palladium based? Palladium silver, palladium platinum, palladium others, for example, I have that the hydrogen selectivity versus all the other gases is infinite. From an engineering point of view, this means a large amount, 10 to 10, for example, 10 to 20 times. The same happens with other membranes. For example, with silver, we have an infinite selectivity of oxygen, in this case, versus other gases. In the case of perovskite, we have the same. But these are to just to compare dense with dense, of course. About the modules. What is a module? The module is configured in this way. There is a feed, for example, oxygen and nitrogen, air. There is a permeate. Permeate is here, is what passes through the membrane. And there is, that is called the permeate, and there is the retentate, what do not pass through the membrane. So we have three streams, okay? And this configuration is called the module. We have commercial module, for example, ceramic one. This is a carbon sieve made. This is something that we prepared in Enea with colleagues, researchers in Enea, and this at laboratory scale with 19 tubes. But there are also, for example, capillary membranes, tubular hollow fiber membranes, flat membranes, and are located in a module like this one, for example. So, for example, this is a membrane reformer that is used in Japan at the Tokyo Gas Company in Tokyo, and they use this system to produce almost pure hydrogen in order to reduce the amount of temperature that they need. Instead of 800 degrees Celsius, they use in this case this system and reduce the temperature to 500 system. And moreover, they obtain pure hydrogen. Apart from this, let's go into deep about projects. There is an economic community framework project, the last one, in which my institute is participating, and is Dr. Pietro Penacci in Milan, is another research center, and we are collaborating with them. The idea is to produce a membrane that is able to be permeated selectively by hydrogen to be used, for example, in reactions such as the water gas shift and so on. This is made by a microporous support, stainless steel, austenitic stainless steel, with a 0.1 micronominal pore size. In this case, if we use directly this system to deposit a film of palladium or palladium silver, for example, there is a problem that the silver diffuses through the stainless steel, so the membrane is broken, disappears. So we need to create an anti-diffusion barrier in this case. And at the end, a palladium or palladium alloy deposition, for example, using a classical electrolyte plating technique. In summary, what we obtained, the thickness is around 10 microns. The operation temperature is at this temperature and at this pressure gives an ideal selectivity greater than 2,000. This means that hydrogen versus other gases is 2,000 at this differential temperature for more than 6,000 hours of use of this reactor. The membrane prepared were four, and you can see that this one, G4, shows initial, with respect to the pressure, a value of around 10,000, and reached here a value less than 10,000, of course, but at a very high pressure. Another one that we will consider V2. Look, this one is 11 microns, this one is 20, this one is 11.2, and with respect to the water gas shift membrane reactor, we obtained a conversion that is very high, at 300 of this space, kind of space velocity, 3,500 hours minus one, and the conversion is very high, and the hydrogen recovery is also very high for the water gas shift, and the hydrogen purity is higher than 92. The bioethanol steam reforming was also tested in my institute, and we obtained also in this case very high conversions of ethanol. There were prepared different membranes, as I said. This is the top layer of the membrane, and there are some achievements and also in progress to prepare other membranes in order to develop a new kind of material. The second one I want to speak about is a project of mine. There was a call last year, three, four years ago, named Industry. The name was Industry 2015, in order to develop aspects of research to be connected to the industry in Italy. There were presented 1,644 projects, of which this one was the first one. And this one was the first one that have the application to have to be used at less than 5 kilowatt electric, and is a micro generation. This one, of course, I am totally involved in this one, it is mine, and the main idea is to use the reformer to be combined with a full cell to be to create energy for a building. And the heart, the core of this project, very big project, 18 million of euro is financed, is a membrane here in the PEM fuel cell and also here in the reformer. This is a colleague of mine. He works also in membrane reactors, especially in the water gas shift membrane and then CO selection, selective oscillation. He also interacts with PD-based membrane separations and is involved in many projects, as you can see. For example, he obtained at the low temperature water gas shift reaction that in the traditional case you have that the conversion is lower than the equilibrium, the thermodynamic equilibrium. By definition, we'll speak this afternoon about this. And using palladium-based membrane for this gas in mixture, for the water gas shift reaction, he obtained values higher than the thermodynamic equilibrium. And he also developed a novel equation in which he modified a bit the Sievert's law that takes into account the CO that could hinder the permeation of hydrogen. The number of projects also that he has is here is reported only a little part. For example, this one for the European Community FP7, another one for the Ministry of Research, this is an Italian one, this is one related to FP5, and so on. Oh, another application very important, apart from palladium, is related to integrated membrane operations. The introduction of membrane operation units is carried out, is studied as a fundamental step towards the rationalization of traditional industrial processes in terms of many aspects, for example, energy consumption, of product recovery, and improvement of quality in agri-food productions. The combination among each other of different membrane operations, such as enzyme membrane reactors, microfiltration, ultrafiltration, nanofiltration, reverse osmosis, and so on, is studied in order to identify their synergetic effect on the optimization of processes in agri-food production and wastewater treatment. This is an example of integrated membrane process in which an ultrafiltration module is combined with a reverse osmosis module, is combined with an osmotic distillation module. Each one has membrane, with, and another one with a pervaporation module. At the end, they obtain, for example, starting with this kiwi juice, this is permeate and this is the retentate. This means that the process methodology preserves on organoleptic nutrition and the sensorial properties of the fresh juice if compared with traditional methodologies. And moreover, there is also a great save of energy with respect to the traditional systems. Another one is the chromium tannage. In the production of leather, for example, there is a lot of chromium that is used and is discharged in the river. So the industry need to recover this because it is very dangerous. So also in this case, they use an ultrafiltration, that is a membrane technique, combined with a nanofiltration in order to recover as much as possible of this very dangerous metal. The advantages of the proposed ultrafiltration nanofiltration process are particularly significant in terms of reducing environmental impacts, improving leather quality, reducing wastewater discharge and pollution load, saving chemicals and waters, along reusing the sludge and decreasing disposal costs. So many benefits in using the membrane. Also in this case there are some international projects, like this one, national projects. This one is made, for example, with the Chinese Academy of Agriculture of Science. And there are other Italian. Another important aspect, in this case I go again to the inorganic membranes, is related to zeolite membranes.